Hello and welcome to the Leadership Journey podcast. Each week, we give you the opportunity to reflect on some of the things that make up a leadership journey. My name is Alan Wilson, and I'm the host of the podcast. You can subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, and while you're there, you can leave us a review. You're listening to episode 30 of the Leadership Journey podcast, and this week Helen Warnock is back. Helen is principal of Belfast Bible College. On last week's programme, Helen was talking about some of the phases of her leadership journey, and this week she's talking about some of the challenges she's experienced in leadership, as well as some of the key areas of learning along the way. Okay, Helen, welcome back to the Leadership Journey podcast.
Good to see you again.
Thank you for what you've already been talking to us about. We've talked about your leadership journey from the early days of organising concerts in your neighbourhood in Omagh, up through Youth for Christ and Scripture Union Northern Ireland, and then coming to Belfast Bible College. And one of the things we were talking about last time was the significance of relationships that you have with friends around you, and just how many, I think you said, with good friends you don't actually need to give them permission, but it's a sort of implicit permission to speak into your life. And I think that's a very, very challenging, very, very encouraging thing. This time I want to try to explore maybe some of the other things. I mean, that's a valuable lesson, I think, that you've learned along the way. But I want to begin to explore some of the other lessons that you've learned about leadership. And also, I'd be interested to hear you talk about some of the major influences on you. And obviously, your friends are part of that. But what about others? You also talked about your mum and dad and the powerful influence of their lived out spirituality. Who would some of the other influences have been along the way?
So I do. I think my mum and dad are absolutely crucial. I think actually my first boss, which was a man called John Duncan in Youth for Christ.
Yeah, just get John on this podcast sometime. Mm.
And John, I mean, and I wasn't the only one. John was very good at, I guess, seeing something in people and then saying, come on board, and giving opportunities to people. So I look back at that early team that had in Youth for Christ and some of the people I got to work with, and they are phenomenal leaders, you know. And I just think John was very, very good at, if you like, seeing people, seeing things in people.
Yeah.
And then letting them at it.
Right.
So I think John has definitely influenced. And I think also underlined, we need people who believe in us.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think he modelled that too.
Right. Is that something you've deliberately tried to make part of your own leadership?
Yes, and I think also because, well, partly I know I appreciate that. I appreciate that when somebody believes in me or encourages me. And I think also that's how I'm wired too. I would like to think I was an encourager and affirmer and taking time to notice those things. But I think that's important because people, whether it's in a work context, people are working really hard.
Yeah.
And I think it's really important to acknowledge and note that. Or, you know, in a friendship circle or church circle, you know, we're surrounded all the time by amazing individuals. It just makes sense to...
Yeah. Now, I happen to know, because I'm married to one of your staff here, that something that you did with the team here last week, where you went round the room, would you mind just talking about that? I think it was a very powerful thing that you did as a team leader. Talk us through that, if that's okay.
Yeah. Okay. So we have a brilliant staff team here at Belfast Bible College, and the nature of the work here at the college will be similar to, in some ways, the church calendar. Is it kicks off in September and it kind of finishes around June. There's plenty of stuff that happens over July and August.
Okay, so it's not that, you know. Do people actually say to you, "Well, I suppose you got the summer off now, have you?"
But I think they say that to the poor teachers who are like, "If only." I suppose we have a monthly staff meeting at the college, and where we get together. Typically, you know, we will open up the Bible, we'll take some time to pray, and we might, if there's discussions or whatever, or announcements. And I just thought at the end of the year, I just want to thank the staff, but I also wanted to acknowledge how they had contributed or impacted the community. And so I said, some of you are not going to enjoy this and you're going to feel a wee bit awkward, but I would like to do it anyway. And I just went around the room and I just called out some stuff that they'd just done brilliantly, or who they are and their character. And I mean, it's easy because they all have contributed brilliant things to this community. And so I just went around the room and and said things.
Do you get much feedback from them?
One or two, who just really appreciated.
And I suppose some of it, maybe folk... I mean, I dare say a lot of folk are not used to that. Because I'm not sure as a culture we're terribly good at specific affirmation of one another. You know, we can generically say, oh, that was a good job, or, you know, if it's a preacher in a church, oh, I really enjoyed your sermon today, or something like that. But I think what you did with very specific things, in your experience, is it maybe more part of a culture than I realise?
I don't know. you maybe need to ask the rest of the team. You know, but it just felt like that's what we should do, and that's a good thing to do. I wanted to do it. I really felt like I wanted to just say thank you, but say thank you in a really specific way.
And
also in the sense of community. Because, you know, I would hope that I might do that throughout the year on a one-on-one, but there's just something about doing it as a community as well.
Yeah, sure. So we sort of got onto that from talking about John Duncan and his ability to identify things about folk and then be supportive as a leader. Who are some of the others then who've been influences?
I don't know. I was thinking about this because I thought you might ask me, and actually, Alan just thought, I think it's just friends. It's just people around me.
Do you have any formal mentoring relationships, or have you had?
I have had some down through the years, and various people that have said, "Look, can we grab a coffee?" Or and that's been really helpful. But I think I'm just aware that there's just fantastic people all across this country, Alan. And sometimes you get to have one conversation with them. So Bishop Ken Good, I've been at a couple of retreats that he took in my kind of 20s and 30s, and I still remember some of the things he said in the insightful way that he does it, with a little bit of a smile in his eye at the same time. You know, so I'm using that as an example. Or conferences, I get an awful lot from conferences, especially if I can go there with a buddy or a couple of friends, because I love being in, listening to somebody talk, and then, what do you think about that? Now, what is that? I love unpacking that. So, you know, I think over the years, I've had the opportunity to be exposed to a variety of things. But I think some of it pushes into just that, those conversations that happen over the Chinese or on holiday, or even that little WhatsApp where you start, what do you think about that? And then you get to talk about it.
Right. So a lot of it is really making use of relationships that you've got. Yeah. Okay. What have been some of the biggest challenges that you've faced as a leader?
Well, there's lots. So I would say a couple of things come to mind. So I think it's really important to keep knowing yourself. So developing self-awareness, and keep developing self-awareness. Because even though, so when I catch up with my school friends who were like my best friends at 16, 17, and we talk, I'm like, oh, you know me really well, because that who I was at 16, 17 is still there. But I've developed and changed since that, so I can't put myself in a box, and how I might have handled something in my 20s might be really different than how I might do it in my 40s. So I think that challenge, which then feeds into the second one of owning things, I found it really good to own things. So when something is tough or hard or goes wrong, I'll be very, right, what was my role in that? What do I need to own? What can I take responsibility for? And there's some things that you just were out of your control and you couldn't, but I find it really helpful to kind of, what can I own?
Give me an example.
So I suppose those are learning coming out of that. I think when I think of challenges, I think in my 20s I learned that I wasn't invincible. And I learned it through
being... That may be quite early to learn that, actually. Probably a lot of people don't learn that quite so soon.
I think it's really key. And I think my thing would be, you're going to learn that lesson.
Yeah.
You're going to learn that lesson so you can choose if it's going to be easy or hard way.
Yeah.
And so for me, all guns blazing, working really hard, probably working crazy hours, but you know, I was invincible, so it was okay. And I had heart and energy and I was capable. And I remember there was 2 or 3 months where I was just exhausted. And I remember I would have come out, you know, I didn't stop work. I worked, but I would have come home at night and got into bed and slept for 2 hours.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, had my tea or whatever, and that just exhausted. And loads of my hair, I have big hair anyway, but loads of my hair fell out during that period. And I just think, I had pushed my body beyond.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a real, so Helen, if you want to be doing this for the next 10, 20, 30 years, mm-hmm. then you need to do it in a different way.
Mm-hmm.
And that was I want to be in ministry mm-hmm. to the day I die. That's what I want. Mm-hmm. So what do I need to put in place? And so a bit of, you know, right, God, you know what you're at. You know, that kind of intentional, again, submission to him, as well as what are some of the, where's my rest? What energizes me? And those are things you need to keep learning.
Yeah,
because they will vary. Yeah. So I now need more time on my own than I needed in my 20s.
Yeah.
That's a new thing.
Mm-hmm.
But still, I am an extrovert, so I still love being with people, mm-hmm. love chatting. So I think that was a really key learning. I think when I was thinking about this, I thought some of the other challenges have absolutely nothing to do with leadership and they're just life. And
yeah,
I think it's
yeah.
personality clashes
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
and heavy workloads. And those aren't leadership things, those are just work things.
Yeah.
And so learning how to, you know, interact with, get the, you know, from people who think really differently than mm-hmm. you or who you might clash with or they clash with you even if you don't.
Yeah.
And that, you know, how do you, that just when work's crazy.
Yeah, I know. Before we started recording here, we were talking about something that I had read and I had tweeted this about a statement that to the effect that the best leaders are probably the leaders who have the least compliant followers. What do you think of that?
Yeah, we talked about that. I think that then pushes into what is compliance.
Yeah.
And
well, for example, you can't give away any trade secrets here, but in an organisation like this, you've got a lot of very bright people.
Oh, fantastic!
Here,
fantastic.
And some leaders would probably find that threatening. Presumably, you don't.
No, because I want them to be brilliant.
Right.
I want them to be better than me, to be better than me. It's
so
okay.
How do you address a leader then who is trying to lead an organisation with a lot of very bright people and who's feeling a bit threatened and would maybe prefer that they would be compliant? What would you say to someone in that situation?
I would
situation?
Push back. So it goes back to how do you know yourself? So why are you feeling insecure?
Uh-huh.
What's going on with you?
Is a psychologist coming out on you?
and what can you own? Because
yeah.
maybe some of that is down to an insecure outlook. I mean,
mm-hmm.
We all have our insecure days or insecure moments
mm-hmm.
or people. So that's not
mm-hmm.
This is part of human nature.
Some people live on planet insecurity.
But there's a wee bit of that. But also as a leader, and maybe this comes from being with young people. You know, I would often hear people say, you know, I want young people to, you know, get to where I am as a leader. No, I want young people to go beyond where I am
mm-hmm.
as a leader.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know whether it comes from years of seeing young people. I don't want you to be where I am with God. I want you to be further ahead.
Yeah.
I want you to be
yeah.
doing more than my generation ever did.
Yeah.
So I love the fact that I'm working in a place, I have worked in a place with people that are gifted at things that I'm not,
yeah.
who are more able than I am. That's fantastic.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I think that's brilliant.
Yeah, yeah. So, right, yeah. I mean, not everybody's, other people are going to applaud that idea, but I think there are definitely are people, maybe people leading churches, who don't know how to manage it when there are folk coming along with 101 bright ideas and all of that.
Okay, and it's, I mean, church leadership is tough
yeah.
because we all have an opinion.
Well, true.
You know, we all have an opinion. And on, you know, how that sermon is going or how that minister is going. So I'm, that's really hard. I guess if you're a leader, knowing yourself is really important, and where you're headed,
mm-hmm.
actually. And so what's your role in that, mm-hmm. and what's the role of other people in mm-hmm. that?
Mm-hmm. And presumably that knowing yourself, you would come back to the theme that we've already talked about, where you've got your friends around you who do know you,
mm-hmm.
and who help you to, mm-hmm. You know, I don't think we can come up with a totally accurate view of a totally accurate understanding of ourselves by ourselves.
Yeah. And I think family's really good.
Yeah.
So like, I have a great relationship with my brother, and we are chalk and cheese.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, and Rob, I know Rob. We've a really brilliant relationship. But there's nothing like Rob to be a leveler in your life. You know, if you ever get, you know, he'll be like, you know, we'd be out with friends, and he would just throw a wee chip in. That's just, I would be kink in laughter because
mm-hmm.
I'm like, oh, my brother knows me well. You know, I'm Helen. I'm not, it doesn't matter whether I'm principal of Bible College or director of SU
yeah.
or whatever.
Yeah.
I'm Helen, he's Rob. You know, yeah. so I think family or good friends are
yeah.
really good at, it's not about bringing us down a peg because that can be quite a Northern Ireland thing at
yeah.
times.
Yeah.
But it's seeing us for who we are, and that's okay.
Yeah, right, yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yes, it does. Yes, it does. I mean, people talk about the Australian phenomenon of the tall poppy syndrome. You know, if it's the tall poppy in the field, you chop it down to make it the same size as everybody else. But yeah, without it being done in a mean way,
mm-hmm.
I guess if someone's able to remind us who we are, it probably works both ways too, doesn't it? Because you've got this very ebullient personality. You're an extrovert and so on. Other people are probably introverts
mm-hmm.
who need people to be coming in and saying, hang on a minute, you know, you've got a lot more going for you than you probably think. So the challenge for the leader to know themselves, and a lot is going to flow from that. And I think you know the idea of not being intimidated by others, that's important, because otherwise an organization gets stumped,
mm-hmm.
doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Any others, challenges that you faced?
I think, yeah, no, that, and that owning things. And then I just thought, yeah, tough things like that for all of us,
mm-hmm.
yeah.
Yeah, does that all, with, I mean, I also wanted to try, you know, sometimes asked folk to say, okay, give me a few bullet points of things, key things that you've learned in leadership. Does that flow out of what you've said, or have you got, you know,
I think some of this we've already covered, so you're not invincible.
Yeah.
Team is fantastic.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love working, mm-hmm. leading, and team. Take responsibility for your own life,
mm-hmm.
which is a wee bit of the owning. And I thought, ask yourself good questions. And so sometimes that's where those come out in friendships, or sometimes I'll try and take myself off, and you know, whether it's a retreat or even New Year, I really like New Year, doing a little bit of reflection on the year past and the year coming. Or like when I was turning 40, I took a couple of days off work and I read my journals for the last kind of 15 years and was really intentional about, like, God, what do you want me to learn and take into my 40s? What is the learning I need to take in?
Mm-hmm.
What are the things I haven't learned that I need to learn? And really intentional about stepping into my 40s with God. So I think asking yourself some good questions, or creating space for those questions,
mm-hmm.
and whether they are self-directed or with friends,
mm-hmm.
I think is really
mm-hmm.
good. That we all need champions, people who believe in us. We've talked about that. Don't be lonely.
Mm-hmm.
I actually find it really sad, Alan, when I hear leaders talk about being lonely. I don't think you need to be lonely. And I feel like sometimes we're bought into some myth that leadership is lonely. And I'm like, of course, as an adult, this is not about leadership.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody will tell you something that you need to be treat confidential.
Mm-hmm.
That's adulthood.
Mm-hmm.
But it doesn't mean you need to be lonely. And so I just think friendship or family or community, why have we created some myth around leadership being lonely?
Do you have any answers to your own question?
I don't think people have invested in friendship.
Mm-hmm.
And I sometimes, you know, and good friendships are built up over a decade.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, and maybe, you know, I don't there's no harshness in, I'm not being harsh on somebody, but I just don't buy into some myth that leadership is lonely. Where's your friends? And it's not like I don't, you know, I would be very professional. I don't talk about work stuff outside of work. But that doesn't mean I'm lonely. And yeah, I suppose I would just, how do you foster friendships? And and even like, you know, one of my best friends, I maybe only see every 4, 5, 6 weeks. It's not like it's somebody I see every day or every week. But those good friends, then when you see each other, you can catch up. And I think in our adult years, you know, whether it's church leaders and they feel like they've moved around, so they've lost contact. But some of your best friends, you may only see once a year or twice a year. True. But then you keep building rhythms where you're seeing them once a year or twice a year, and you're having good conversations. Or and I'm not. I think we all need the ordinary as well, like the everyday. One of the things that we'd when I moved into the house I'm in now, a couple of my friends, we decided we'll have tea together every Monday night. And so there was four girls started to have tea together every Monday night. Ali had just come back from Paraguay, and I thought, oh, that'll work. We love it. And whoever will take it in turns to cook, and that's whose house you'll go to for dinner. We're 11 years on from that, and there's now seven of us who meet for tea every Monday night. Right. We've got a few husbands have joined in, and we've now a few babies actually, so we've even more.
Right.
And we meet together every Monday and have tea. And over the years, we can talk about our favourite box set and the weather, and sometimes we talk about, you know, job changes or stresses. And that has been a really lovely rhythm of, you know, in sharing life. Eating really good food. So I suppose what are the things that people can do that might just help foster friendships, foster community?
Because normally, I mean, loneliness is not just a leadership issue, I think it's a societal issue too, isn't it? And there's more and more being talked about this, even the health benefit, the health detriments of loneliness, and so on. Have you got others? Things that you learned along the way?
The only other thing I wrote down there was heart matters.
Okay.
And I don't know if that again
is that a verb or a noun?
I suppose I just think my heart, the fact what I care about, is a bit of a fuel for me. So whether it's been that heart after God, or that heart for young people, or the heart for this country, that's where it's okay to be with papers, because there's a bigger story going on.
The heart for this country. You've had the opportunity to be involved for quite a number of years now in organisations that have worked all across Northern Ireland and further afield, obviously. How do you see the whole situation here?
What are you asking?
Let me ask a simple yes or no question. Probably won't be a simple yes or no question. Are you optimistic? Are you optimistic about the church in Northern Ireland?
Well, I kind of feel like we'll have to be, Alan, because we're following a God that believes he's at work. And so we have to be. And because there's a bit of trust and faith. I know, I understand what you're saying. And I think some of this is hard. I think church life in Northern Ireland, we're pushing against so many things, you know. There's more disconnect between church life and local community than there was in previous generations. And so then there comes a language and cultural disconnect. I think also there's, you know, we've gained quite a lot of negative press, some of which we've maybe earned, and some of which we haven't. And I think also that there's been an awful lot of change in the last 30 years. An awful lot of change. And and that obviously has a direct impact on church, but it's all of our lives. That, you know, the little thing, like we carry a mobile phone around all the time, like, you know, or how we do our banking, or, you know, how the communities that we... There's just been so many change. I guess I am hopeful because I think God's at work. And I'm hopeful because even though I think Northern Ireland is a really complicated place, we can't hide that. I mean, it's been headlines for 50 plus years. You know, our failures are world news, so we don't need to pretend to be otherwise. We are a mess. We are a mess. But I suppose within that, you see people with phenomenal resilience. You see brilliant sense of humour. There's a growing spirit of entrepreneur, which is really exciting. There, you know, we have potential to have really creative people across this country, across the arts and music. It's really exciting. We have a heritage of people who've taken their faith seriously. So there's a lot. Oh God, I think it's a great wee piece of land. I think it's a mess, but I think it's a great
Do you think at the same time there's a chance we could squander it all?
Well, I think we probably have. Haven't we? We probably have.
Yeah.
And I guess what's really sobering is what's been our role in some of that.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, what will you or I look back in 20, 30 years and when that was our watch? Yeah.
That's a sobering thing. But yeah, a God of hope, a God who's creator. And we can't abandon hope. I mean, God, you know, I was just reading this morning, God stirring up the heart of Cyrus, who's a pagan king, and he stirred up his heart to say to the Jews, right, time to go back to Jerusalem and build a temple to God. You know, that's what God can do. So that's the kind of God he is, if he can find us faithful. Which, and all of that brings me back to where we started this in the first program, Belfast Bible College. Because, I mean, part of what you're doing here is training people who are going to be a generation of leaders. So, and also, Belfast Bible College, 75 years. What's your aspiration for the next 25 years, Belfast Bible College?
That this is a place that takes that equipping really seriously. And that learning across a variety of platforms. So I love that we have got degree and postgrad programs, because I think that pushes into critical thinking and learning. And I know, I guess, from doing my own doctorate, I have had the opportunity to read things I would not have, to be pushed in my own way of thinking that I would not have. But also, there's an awful lot of soft skills that come out of formal education that are phenomenally useful. But I think also in stimulating conversations that are timely for this country, this church, this place. I suppose I'd love to see us continue to grow to be a really good resource for this place, this country, the church and the people of the church. And again, whether that's dipping into an event or a course, and that we are taking our place and making a difference here. I want us, you know, this is a place that cares about God and taking who he is seriously. This is a place that takes mission seriously, and therefore will want to push us in. Well, how are you going to articulate that or understand that, or what do you think about that? In a way that you can live it, share it, do it. That is, I guess, we're, you know, wrestling with some of the complexity around us. But I wanted to always do it from a posture of humility and gracious. I want to contribute, but I don't. We're not a place that says we have, by the way, we have the answers, but a place that says, I think we've got something important to say, something important to contribute.
Sometimes people can, sometimes people can practically say, well, there's Belfast Bible College, they must know how to do all this. I think someone once said this to me in an evening class, actually, you know, well, surely there are people in the college can answer the problems of the problems of the churches. So it's more, we've got something to contribute rather than let us tell you how this needs to be. What is an ideal, and this is maybe a hard question to answer, what does an ideal graduate look like coming out of here? Because in some ways that's part of the vision, isn't it? What is an ideal graduate leaving this place?
When you say that, I just see all the faces of people who have finished this year.
Yeah.
And you just see a variety of people.
So many different ones, yeah.
So many different people.
Are there core things?
Love Jesus.
Yeah.
The experience of the time here has enabled them to create tools to be lifelong learners. and they are taking their place seriously in their community.
Mm-hmm.
So whether that is as a church leader or a primary school teacher or work in a business, but they are wise.
Mm-hmm.
Wise.
Mm-hmm. Wise. Yeah. Great. Listen, we're just about at the end here. Is there anything at all that you've been thinking, I really want to say this in this podcast?
I think we've covered plenty.
I haven't given you the opportunity to say it. Final word.
I think we've covered plenty on, I suppose. I would just, I suppose, underline it is an absolute adventure to follow Jesus.
Mm.
So, just tuck your life in behind his.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Great. Just tuck your life in behind the life of Jesus. Helen, thank you very much for your time. Appreciate you sharing with us. Yes. God bless you.
Thank you.
In this
thank
phase
you.
Of your leadership journey.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Thank you for taking the time to listen to this episode of the Leadership Journey podcast. And thanks again to Helen for taking time to talk with us. The Leadership Journey podcast is going to take a break over the next couple of months, but we hope to be back after the summer with season two. So whether the summer is a time of rest and refreshment for you as a leader, or whether it's a time of frenetic activity, I hope you have a good summer. Remember to check back with us in September, and in the meantime, God bless you.